North Rock Podcast.
All right. So who likes family reunions? Anyone? You ever go to family reunions? I used to go to them as a kid. I love them. I love when you see cousins or aunts and uncles you haven't seen in a long time. So I think we have a slide. Well, we can show it later. We're going to have a family reunion. We've been talking about it the last few weeks. We're going to have a big party, though. Do you guys like to party? Guys, it's a Saturday night crowd. You have to like to party. Come on. So we are going to have a big family reunion September 14th. We're going to have way more details in the next few weeks. We're going to need some help. Obviously, it's a big party, so we are going to need some help with that. We're going to have signups, things like that in the next few weeks. We're going to have more details. But here is a video from Chad. You guys know who Chad is, right? Pastor Chad is going to be our new pastor. He's going to be installed here as the pastor on September 14th. So that's why we're going to do it that day, but it's going to be huge, like food and jumpies and face painting and cotton candy, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Here's a little video. He's going to talk about some of the upcoming things.
What's going on, North Rock? It's Pastor Chad here. Really looking forward to meeting some of you. And being reconnected to so many of the deep, loving relationships that we've had in years past there at North Rock. It's really difficult for me to even find the words to convey just how pumped that Jody and I are about coming back to North Rock and having the privilege of serving as the lead pastor there. So the first thing is I wanted to let you know that I'm going to invite some of my friends, colleagues, former ministry partners, and church planters that have all had a part of the church in years past at North Rock there. They're going to be sharing a couple of messages over the next couple of weeks while Jody and I plan to make a transition to you to just help you see some of how your faithfulness in serving in this community of believers has made a difference in places that you probably don't even know about at this point. So again, got some good friends coming in. They're going to do a great job sharing our weekend messages. Jody and I are going to be around saying hi to folks, observing the ministries, connecting, and trying to just get a few touch points with everyone there at North Rock before they shackle me to that stage and we start doing most of the preaching there, okay? So we're going to be doing that. I'm also going to have the opportunity to clarify some of what Sam's told you. Now, the truth is, most of what he's said is accurate. But, you know, there's probably about 10% that I'm going to need to clarify about our histories. We grew up in the faith, serving, loving, and leading alongside so many people that we love and respect there at North Rock. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be in a series that we're calling Family Reunion. And in it, I've invited some very close friends, some people that have planted churches from North Rock in seasons past, fellow ministry leaders that served alongside of us for many of the formative years of this church getting off the ground, to come and share part of their journey that they've had alongside of us there at North Rock over the years. Don't miss this. On August 17th, we're going to be laying hands on and sending John and Gina Horner and their entire launch team to celebrate the new work that North Rock is doing and sending them to Erie, Colorado to plant a new church. We've got so many things that I'd love to share with you in this brief video, but we'll be doing that over the weeks and months to come, all right? So again, don't forget, August 17th, we're going to be sending John and Gina Horner. We're going to be bringing in some special guests to share on our weekend celebration services. And then on September 14th, I will be installed as the lead pastor there. We have got a great party planned, so be sure to invite your family, your friends, colleagues, neighbors, the occasional passerby, or anybody that you can find to join us that day for what's guaranteed to be a great party and a great time exploring, talking about, and dreaming about how God's going to continue to do the work that he's been doing through North Rock in seasons past. God bless you all. Looking forward to being with you very, very soon.
Cool. So September 14th, mark your calendars for the family reunion. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on between now and then. So I want to introduce to you guys Mark Shee. He's going to be our speaker for this evening. He's been in Foursquare since the 1980s. He's been a lay leader, an assistant pastor, and a church planter with New Hope Churches that are in Hawaii. And, sorry, Hope Chapel. Not New Hope, it's called Hope Chapel. And then he moved to Colorado Springs with his family. And if they have any availabilities in Hawaii since you left, I'm volunteering to go there, just FYI. I would love to live in Hawaii. So yeah, he now lives in Colorado Springs with his family. He has a background in general contracting and is now a consultant to the construction industry. So if you guys want to welcome Mark, he's going to come up here and speak to us tonight.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, it's good to be here. Actually, it's really good to be here because it took me almost 2.5 hours to get here from the Springs, and I was thinking, am I going to make it? I was calling Chad saying, gee, I'm not sure this is going to work. But anyway, it's good to be here. Actually, I've heard of North Rock Church back in 1995. I was at a gathering that was convened by my former senior pastor, Ralph Moore. Some of you have probably heard of him or may have heard of him, the Hope Chapel Churches. He's a prolific church planter, actually planted many churches out of his congregation, and others have planted from there. And so I met Pastor Sam at that symposium. It was called the Issachar Symposium. And it was named after the men of Issachar, that the scriptures say they understood the times and knew what Israel had to do. And when I met Sam, I knew this is a son of Issachar. He really is a far-sighted man in terms of understanding what is it that God's doing. And so it's been a real privilege to follow his ministry in North Rock over the years. I know you guys have planted a lot in terms of, and also just the power and the strength of the district. And it's been great to connect with Pastor Chad as well, just another son of Issachar, a real warrior in the faith. So it's great to be here. So I wanted to here's a picture. My wife said, bring a picture. And so being a good, faithful husband, husbands, submit to your wives, that's unto the Lord, just kidding. But anyway, we have 6 kids, if you could count there. My wife has been married. We'll be married 23 years in a couple weeks. We live in an area called Black Forest, if anyone ever heard of that, in Colorado Springs. And so we have a hobby farm, and we have milk goats and meat rabbits. We've had miniature cows, chickens, and it's just this whole Green Acres experience for us. Yeah, when we lived in Hawaii, we lived in a very crowded area. Very urban, so it's great for us to be here in Colorado. So, and it's great to be with you guys. Well, I want to ask you guys a question. Does anyone here want to be moved by God? Okay, would you guys be willing to move location-wise then? I want to just pull in a little bit. I think I'll preach better, and I think there's a little more anointing in the front here. So, why don't you guys just come on up? And all right, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Try to be somewhat clever. All right. I'm going to share a scripture that I think has a lot of application to your congregation specifically, but I think for a number of us in our lives as well. I think this is also a scripture that applies to the church in general. If we can get the first slide up. This is Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. And this is the New International Version. It says, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. Behold, I do a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now, obviously, there's application with, you know, a change in leadership of the church, but I think it's way more than that. I think there's things that God wants to do in this congregation, but also in your lives. And really, I'm hoping that this message, or really the sharing of the scripture, provokes something in you. And so we're going to do something to start off with this. I just read that myself, but I'm going to have us all read it together. But I want you to be thinking, as you're reading it out loud, as we're all saying it together, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's a lot of different messages or potential words here that the Lord could highlight. You've probably had that experience where you've read a scripture you've read many times in your life, and yet this particular time you read it, something jumps out at you. And so I want to encourage you that as we read this a couple times out loud, that you ask the Holy Spirit, speak to me. For some of you, it might be the first word, forget. Maybe some of you guys need to forget some things. Something in the past, maybe an offense, something that's a barrier. And the Lord just saying, you know, forget. Or maybe it's about the past, that the Lord wants you to move on. He's saying, you know what, it's time just to walk away from that. That there's some things that you've walked through, some ways you've looked at yourself that are really kind of impeding you in what I want to do in your life. For others of you, maybe it's the perceived part, the perceived and new things that God's doing. For some of us, the gray-haireds, sometimes it's hard to dream because we've been through so much life. And maybe the Lord's provoking us and saying, no, I want you to dream again. And we're like, oh, I did that before. It hurts. And the Lord's inviting us into something. Maybe for others, we're comfortable. You know, we're like, hey, you know, I finally got my life settled, you know. All right, I'm just going to stay here for a while. And the Lord's saying, no, it's, you know, it's time to move. It's time to go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just read the first phrase, and I want you guys to collectively say it after me. So we'll have some a little bit of cadence, okay? But we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here bringing the presence of Jesus to us. And as we read this scripture together, I pray that you would speak. That some of the things that we desperately need to hear and you desperately want to speak, Lord, we give you place and time. We settle our hearts and say, speak to us. In the words of Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Okay, let's do this one more time. Again, have your antenna open to what the Holy Spirit would underline for you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Let me ask you, did anybody feel like the Lord spoke to you at all? Holy Spirit spoke to you at all? Okay. I just want you to share that with somebody, okay? So just pair up in twos if you can and just share. What is it that the Lord spoke to you through that? And then switch places and share back, okay? Well, I just heard that the former pastor here had shared that scripture, I guess, with the congregation 4 years ago. And so I was told that. So did anybody get anything that you wanted to share? Yeah. Okay, here.
Oh, my goodness. My husband and I both, the I'm making a way stood out to us. And we're going through a hard time, so that means a lot.
Anybody else going through a hard time? All of us? Okay. Anybody else need a way? Right? I mean, there's seasons in our lives where we feel kind of stuck, right? And we're praying, we're fasting, whatever we're doing, and it's like we're stuck. And we're saying, God, move. We want you to move. And yet sometimes it seems like the heavens are brass, right? But there are times, appointed times, where God moves. Amen. And that's what this is all about, okay? This is what this message is all about. And I want to share with you a few things that I observed out of the scripture. But in this little exercise we did, some of the things that you most need to hear today, you may have heard already through the Holy Spirit, right? There's a scripture in 1 John that says, you have an anointing that teaches you all things. You actually don't need anybody to teach you. Now, as someone who's spoken and preached his messages, that's kind of a threatening message. But it basically says, you know what? Press into the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to God yourself. That doesn't mean you tune out, you know, when someone's preaching, okay? But it means if you're waiting for a weekly filling of the word, you're malnutrition. The Lord wants to stir his people to pursue his face. Yes, praise God for teachers and for pastors, but praise God for the Holy Spirit that lives in you, okay? So I'm going to just share a few thoughts this evening. If we can flip the next slide there. This is the first thing that jumped out at me is new thing. Now, when the world talks about a new thing, it has that detergent thing, new and improved. I don't know what you think when you see that, but I'm kind of a cynical guy. So I think it means like it's less crappy than it used to be. You know, I'm like, you know, it's like it doesn't suck as much, you know. It's like, wow, cool, you know. And when the Lord does a new thing, he's not making it less crappy. And let's be honest, some of us would be happy with less crappy right now because our lives, like, are hard, right? So it's like, God, throw me a bone. I mean, it doesn't have to be like this whole huge overhaul. We're not doing the makeover, but just a little help here. I feel like I'm drowning, and there's no help here. So we'll settle for a little bit. But when God does a new thing, it's not the new and improved of the world. It's substantially different. Okay? When God wants to do a new thing, it's a transformation of your present existence. And it's a breakthrough of how you understand yourself. I am completely convinced that most of us don't know what resides inside of us. Okay? Anyone here ever see The Matrix? The first one, at least? I refuse to see the second or third. It spoiled the experience for me, so I stuck with the first. Anyone ever see that? Is it, the character is, what's his name? Thomas Anderson, right? And he's a computer guy, but he doesn't realize that what lives inside of him is Neo, right? The person that can actually potentially undo the Matrix. Okay, that was, some of you are like, well, that's just a secular movie. You know, but that's a story. What, was that funny? Okay. You know what? That's the storyline of most of the Bible. Most of the Bible is all about people like you and me looking very average, very normal, nothing special going on, and God doing a work in their lives and blowing apart their world for the kingdom of God. Amen. I call it the eighth son of Jesse syndrome. Does anyone know who the eighth son of Jesse was? He knows. Who? David. King David, right? The eighth son. If you remember the story, Samuel comes to anoint Jesse's household, one of them, to be the future king. And there's a seven older brothers are there, and they don't even remember that David's there. They're like, well, I think they're all here. You know, they didn't even include David. And yet, who does God choose? The eighth son. The one that's forgotten. The obscure one, the one that doesn't seem special. Does that relate to anybody here? Right? Let's say you're 75 years old, never had a kid. Are you really going to be the father of a nation at the age of 100? That's kind of a little unlikely, don't you think? Right? Esther becomes queen, if you know that story. She's basically an orphan, a despised minority. What is it that God wants to do in our lives? Sometimes we have no idea what lives inside of us. I'm going to refer to the story of Moses through the rest of my points here. So I do have, if we can go a couple more slides. So we can skip the next slide and go to the next one. Cute chick there, huh? Hey, you know, I live on a farm, right? I got to include those kind of animals. This is an aside. I'll tell you how hillbilly my family is. Is my daughters have these baby rabbits, and one day they came to us and said, you know, we need to butcher them. So just think about that for a little while. Okay, so we have this situation in Exodus chapter 3. And I'm going to read that. This portion just talks about the call that God places on Moses' life. It starts out, it says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I'll just stop right there. Now, if you know the story, right, the first 40 years he's raised as a prince of Egypt, I mean, very privileged, he begins to understand that maybe there's a calling in his life, that maybe he's supposed to help save and rescue the people of Israel that are actually his genetic kinship. And so he does something. He actually kills an Egyptian. He has to flee for his life because it's exposed. And he's spending now the last 40 years of his life. He's now 80 years old. He's been in the backwoods tending sheep, doing nothing of seeming importance. Right? He's 80 years old. He's probably thinking, okay, Social Security, you know, retirement. pretty soon I'm just going to be, you know, hanging out or whatever. He doesn't have a lot of career aspirations at this point in his life, right? And then he sees a bush that's on fire, but it's not consumed, and it's an angel of the Lord. And we know the story. It says, Moses, Moses, come. You know, remove your shoes, for this is holy ground. Now, note what God doesn't say. He doesn't say to him, you know what? Moses, I know you've been having arthritis, so I'm going to give you a glucosamine plant or whatever, and, you know, maybe you'll have twins on your sheep or whatever it is, and, you know, life will be a little better, you know, a little less crappy. I'm going to do that for you. He doesn't do that. At a point in his life where he's pretty much into the sunset, the Lord arrests him, and this is what he says. He goes, now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, and they got cut off, the Israelites out of Egypt. That's what I mean about a new thing. A new thing means you're just going about your life, just trying to survive. Come on, let's be honest. A lot of us, right? Just trying to keep our head above water. And the Lord comes and says, you have no idea what I put inside you. That really, there's something inside you that is so crucial to the kingdom. That new thing that I'm going to bring forth is not just a little more money or some retirement, a little bit of health. It's really about a convergence of my calling, my destiny, and the latent gifts that you have no idea are in you. And I'm going to bring that out. Okay? That's what the new thing is all about. So if any of you are feeling kind of like, I'm just trying to hang in there, maybe that's a good thing. Because the word says, I'm going to bring streams into the desert. I'm going to bring a highway when you're so hopelessly lost. So anyone feeling hopelessly lost? That's pretty good then, right? We're doing good. There's the potential then for God to bring a highway and bring a way where there seems to be no way. So that's the first thing. New thing. Who wants God to do a new thing in your life? Thank you, four of you. Five. I saw that hand. Okay. Now, I won't belabor this point. This isn't just fiction. It's not theory. This is real. I'm sure there's people here that could talk about how God brought them into places where new things that they never saw before came forth in their lives. Okay? He's going to do it again. It doesn't matter how old you are. I got gray hair. It's easy to say, you know, my life is whatever. Did you know when Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken? Well, I'm way off track now, aren't you? It's like, reel him in, buddy. That's a good story. Does anybody know? In his 60s. If you know the story, he had a motel that he was going to retire. He was doing very well, and he was offered quite a sum of money for it. He turned it down. And then they built a new highway, a new freeway. They had no overpass, no exit. And so they bypassed his motel. He went bankrupt. 62 years old. All he had was a car and a recipe. That was it. Okay, that's just a secular story, right? But what about your story? Okay, let's flip the slide. The second thing I want to talk about that struck me is those words, I am doing. I am doing. I was an English major, okay? Am refers to a time, right? Now. I am doing something now. When God does a new thing, there's an aspect of it that is very time-based and time-bound, okay? When God does a new thing, it's in a window of opportunity, and windows of opportunity don't stay open forever, okay? Let's flip the slide. I want to share with you another story from Moses. Some of you remember the story, how they come to the edge of the Promised Land across the Jordan, and they send how many spies? 12 spies, right, to go spy the land. And the 12 spies come back, and 10 of them are very discouraging. They're like, you know, this place, it's going to kill us, right? So they turn coward, the entire tribe, all the tribes turn coward, and they decide, we're not going. And so God comes, and he brings judgment upon them, and he basically says, all of you guys who are of age, 20 years and up, you know what you said, you're not going to go, you're not going to take the land, you're right. You're not. You're going to die in this wilderness. And they're like, oh, wow, that sucks. You know, I have to live the rest of my life here. So they think to themselves, you know what? We're sorry. And so they go to Moses and they say, early the next morning, they went up toward the high hill country and they said, you know, we've sinned. We'll go up to the place the Lord has promised. So they're saying, you know what? Let's just go. The window's still open. Let's go. Do you guys remember what happens? This guy's the guy that knows all the answers. And so what happens after they decide to go into the promised land? They get beaten. Moses says, you know what? You guys missed it. You missed the window of opportunity. God gave us a window, and it's closed, so don't do this. So they do it anyway. They go across. They try to take the land, and they get defeated soundly, and it's gone. Okay? Now, I want to share this with you because there's an aspect of readiness that I believe the Lord's calling us to as individual people, but also as congregations. A readiness. The window when the Lord moves does not remain open forever. Therefore, a spirit of readiness is probably something we need to adopt. You guys remember the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25? Anybody? I'm sorry. Does any person with a green shirt kind of remember this story? Just kidding. Well, there's 10 virgins, and they're waiting for the bridegroom. All of them are waiting for the bridegroom. But when the bridegroom comes, and the bridegroom is symbolic of Christ, correct? 5 of them are ready. They have oil in the lamps. They're able to progress into the bridal chamber, so to speak. And the other 5 weren't ready, even though they were, quote unquote, waiting, and they missed their opportunity. When they go off to buy oil, it's too late. The door is shut, and it's closed. I'm sharing this because there's a bit of urgency that some of us are praying, God, move, God, move, God, move, but are we ready? Is there a spirit of readiness about us? Ready to move and go forward with the things that God has for us. Okay? Is that good? You guys kind of understand? All right. Okay, let's flip the slide. This is the third point I want to make. The Lord says, do you not perceive? He says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive? Now, why is he asking that? Why is he asking them, do you not perceive? I mean, I like to have answers, if you guys, you know, I know it's like rhetorical, you know, but. Guess, anybody guess, come on. Why does God want them to perceive? Why is he challenging them to perceive?
He wants them to be open, he wants them to use their faith.
Yes, he wants them to use their faith. There's something about how you see and the connection of faith. See, I have a little saying. I say this. How you see will influence what will be. How you see will influence what will be. And I'm not talking about some kind of weirdo, you know, New Agey stuff. I'm talking about the activation of faith that can perceive what God is doing. I'm going to refer back to the Moses story. Can you flip the slide, please? Now, this is in Numbers 13, this is when the 12 spies come back. And there's Joshua and Caleb have a very positive outlook, if you remember, right? I mean, they're very confident. And so this is what Caleb says. He says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And he's like, we got this. This is duck soup. We got it. And it says, but the men who had gone up with him, these are the 10 other spies, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there were of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Okay, so imagine this. The 12 spies are going throughout the land. They're spending 40 days, okay? I mean, if they had like an iPhone and could take pictures, I mean, there's a lot of pictures, right? And they're all taking pictures. I'm kidding, right? But they're having images. Some of you are like, it wasn't invented yet. It's like, yeah, I know, it wasn't invented yet. But I'm using something that we could access, okay? Now, if they came back and they showed their little iPhone pictures to the whole tribe, do you think that Joshua and Caleb looked any different? Yeah. I mean, did they like run into the midgets in the land? I mean, you know, everyone else is these huge, you know, these huge giant people. And did Joshua and Caleb just find the small people? The like the weak ones? Don't you think that they were the same? Yeah. But they saw differently, didn't they? They saw differently. I said earlier that what you see will influence what will be. So those 10 spies looked and they said, you know what? We're toast. We're like midgets. We're like worse than midgets. We're grasshoppers. We're nothing. And guess what? They were. They never achieved anything. They never took possession of the land that God had promised to them, because that's how they saw. And Joshua and Caleb saw differently, right? It's interesting because right after this scripture, can you flip the slide? Right after this scripture, the next chapter is very revealing. It says, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? So how do they see God? Not as someone you can really trust, huh? Right? Let me make a statement. How you see yourself says an awful lot about how you see God. How you see yourself. See, I could have started with how you see God, and all of us would be like, God is great, God is majestic. I sing worship songs, he's awesome. But me, I'm kind of a loser. It's like, well, think about that. If he's so great, and he's given his great spirit into you, then how can you be a loser? Maybe that God you're serving isn't so great after all. Some of you heard the term win-win. You ever heard that? Yep. What's the opposite of win-win? Win-lose, right? Does anyone ever struggle with the thought that for God to win means you got to lose? I had a friend once that confessed to me. He goes, I never prayed, God, I'll do anything you want, because I thought he would send me to Africa. You guys must have prayed that. That's kind of like bad on you. Just kidding. It's like, you know, God's going to, if you gave him full access, right, he's going to go, ooh, now I can make him miserable. I'm so happy, you know, right? Is that the kind of God we serve? Yeah. No. Okay? No. But how you see yourself, again, I said, has a lot to say about how you really see God. Because we all know the religious things to say, right? We can give you a multiple choice test, and we'd probably all pass. God is great, true, you know, whatever, right? But in terms of how we live our lives, see, Joshua and Caleb understood who God is and therefore who they were. Can we flip the slide? I have this cool little scripture here. They're all cool, but anyway. Psalm 18, this is the words of King David. He says, he brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he blank in me. Can you fill that in? Just, what? Believes, lives, desires. Had mercy on my miserable soul, or whatever. He saved me because he was sorry for me, and I was pathetic, and he felt like, you know, I needed help. You know what the word is? It's delights. Isn't that cool? Yeah. See, we can all say God is loving because, you know, you could love, like, a homeless person or a sick dog or whatever, right? You know? But in terms of delight, that's a little different. When I say, you know, God has mercy on me, I mean, sure, he has mercy on everybody, right? But there's something a little different when you say, you know what? He rescued me because he delights in me. That I bring joy to him. That he's the kind of God that when he looks at me, he's not thinking, oh, how can I mess them up real bad, right? But he's thinking, this person brings me great joy. And how can I release the fullness of my joy in their lives so they bring joy to others? In this, later on in this psalm, and I love this psalm, Psalm 18. Could we switch the slide? This is King David. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Wow, what an egotist. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, I said, you know, I think God's called us to greatness. And he's like, well, that seems kind of arrogant, doesn't it? And I said, you know what? It's arrogant not to think that. If God is so great and he put his spirit in me, and so I'm mediocre, I'm junk, I'm trying to survive, I hope I don't sin much, you know, try to make it into heaven. I mean, you see how ridiculous that is? I mean, if Jesus said, if you want to be great, forget it. He didn't say that, right? He said, if you want to be great, there is a road. Walk that road. Okay? I don't know, and I'm not saying greatness as the world measures greatness. I'm saying the greatness that's measured in heaven, right? In eternity. Some of us have been Christians for a while. We kind of get into this complacent mode where it's just kind of just get by, you know? I just do my stuff. I just try to hang in there. And I think I want to provoke you. I want to irritate you. Somebody like, that guy's really irritating. Well, I'm trying to be, okay? I'm trying to provoke you somewhat, okay? To say, you know, re-embrace what God has put into you because you don't know who you are. You don't know what's in you. And only God does. All right? I was going to share a story, but I said not to. Well, I had a similar story. I didn't do the, you know, I'll do anything you want, I'll go to Africa thing, right? But I did this. I said, I'll marry any person you bring to me. Anyone single here? That's like a frightening prayer. You know, you're like, you're thinking, God's like, you know, there's Helga over here that nobody wants. And now I have a you know, this person I could fond him on, you know. I said that, and I won't go into it, but I ended up marrying my wife, and she's the one of my dreams, has been for all these years. Amen. So, yeah, God's not trying to stick it to you. All right. You know what? I know I'm going, am I going over? Should I, like, just, okay. All right. Hey, who here feels egotistical? I'm just kidding. Maybe we should read this together, right? Maybe we should read this together. This guy was called a man after God's own heart. He spoke those words. It wasn't egotism. It was understanding of God and God's affections for him and God's calling for him. Because you notice here, there's a lot of like warfare kind of stuff, right? Well, we're in spiritual battle, right? The forces of darkness. I mean, we are called to be the army of God. That the Holy Spirit provokes a warrior spirit within us. That's why I enjoy Chad so much. I mean, he's like such a tough guy, you know? He really is. But I mean, it's that bulldog kind of attitude for the kingdom. And I don't know, I'd like us to read. Would you guys be open to reading that? Yeah, let's just read this together. I'll say a first phrase and you guys repeat after me. It is God who arms me with strength.
It is God who arms me with strength.
And makes my way perfect.
And makes my way perfect.
He makes my feet like the feet of a deer.
He makes my feet like the feet of a deer.
He enables me to stand on the heights.
He enables me to stand on the heights.
He trains my hands for battle.
He trains my hands for battle.
My arms can bend a bow of bronze.
My arms can bend a bow of bronze.
You give me your shield of victory. And your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. Okay, let's flip the slide. We're going to go to the last point here, which is forget the former things. Forget the former things. I know for a number of us, probably we have more faith in our future looking like our past than what God can do in the life of a person who's surrendered to Him. Okay? So we go, well, I've only been this in the past. And so when I extrapolate it forward, it's the same thing. Maybe just older with more gray hair. Yeah, right? Or less. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah. And it's interesting because Moses, you can flip the slide, he struggled with the same thing. Right? He spent 80 years, right? He's 80 years old. Now, we're like thinking, well, he lived about like a billion. That's not true. It's only 120, right? So it's two-thirds of his life are done. So if you live to be 90, right, he's 60 years old. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, checking it in now, man. And the Lord comes and gives him this appointment, and it's almost humorous. In fact, it kind of is. But Moses tries to keep getting out of it. I mean, you know, if you read that, if you know that, Exodus 3 and 4, he keeps giving all these excuses. I just have three of them up here. There's like more, you know. It says, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You see that? Who am I? I am a nobody. Yeah, you know the truth is? I am a nobody. But he's a somebody, right? And if the somebody puts his finger on you and says, I've given you my anointing to you, shouldn't that make a difference? And then he goes on this other back and forth dialogue. And then he says, Moses said to the Lord, oh, Lord, I've never been eloquent neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. He's like, in the last 5 minutes, I haven't changed. I'm about the same, you know. I am slow of speech and tongue. He's giving up all. And the truth is, he probably was, right? He probably was. But what is inside of you is my question, right? And can God bring that out? I'll share a personal story. When I was in my mid to late 20s, I was so shy. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family with a lot of abuse, and it scars you, right? I was so shy and so afraid of speaking in public that I actually thought that when I got married, I'd elope, because I didn't want everyone looking at me. You know, when you get married, right, you got to, like, smile a lot and people look at you, you know? And I thought, man, that just, like, would crush me to have to be in front of people. Gee, what am I doing here? Just kidding, right? I was in a small Bible study, or not small, it was like 40 people, but I was co-leading it one time, and I brought this other gal in to help co-lead it. She was new on staff at the church I was going to, and after a few weeks or so, she goes, you know, Mark, I need to talk to you. You don't have the gift of teaching, and I am taking away leadership from you. I felt so encouraged. Just kidding. So why am I standing up here? Why am I preaching? Because God put it in me and gave me an anointing. And even though I could relate to Moses, right, an awful lot, he drew something out of me. And he's drawing something out of you. And it doesn't matter what our age is. Forget the former things. Do not define yourself by your past experiences, past failures, past limitations, past giftedness. God is doing a new thing. Amen. Okay? Well, I'm going to pretty much wrap up here. But did anyone feel like God spoke to you at all this today? Okay. I just think we need to probably spend a little bit of time just for yourself and just say, God, I don't know, you know, I want to come to you with an expectation that you're going to do something new in my life. And I'm going to do what I need to do to prepare for that. Okay? So we just have a moment of silence, and I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord. You know, you guys are in the midst of some big transition with Pastor Chad coming in. And it's not just a new pastor. I think God has amazing things for you guys, new things, right? Are you going to be ready for that? Is your attitude going to be, well, it wasn't like this before, right? Or is it, hey, Lord, if you're doing something new, I want in on it. I want in on it. You know, I just want to say one last scripture, but you know, the Bible in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. The greater gifts. And I want to encourage you that there's probably a greater thing coming up right now. And we think, oh, that sounds so ambitious. So it seems so unspiritual. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote it, right? He didn't say, earnestly desire the real low gifts. You know, you should really be lowly because you're kind of nothing, right? He didn't say that, right? He says, you're the kind of vessel that can actually accommodate the greater gifts. So go for it. Desire of the Lord for more, for greater. Okay? Because I'm using this word greater a lot because I do think that word applies to the next season for you guys if you're willing to go. All right? So just be quiet for a moment and I'll close this in prayer. Father, I want to pray for the release of an anointing in every person here and in the group collectively, an anointing to hunger again, to seek for you again. In the early days of our faith, it seems so easy, and sometimes over the decades, it becomes harder and harder. I pray for a renewal and a rejuvenation. I pray that our hearts would be given over to desire, reckless desire for you, Lord. Desire that's willing to be disappointed even, and disillusioned even, but risk those things because we know that the greater prize is you. So, Father, I pray that you would provoke our hearts toward you, and I pray for a knitting together in community, that this wouldn't be something that we try to do alone, but you would surround us and that we would reach out for those, Lord God, that would support us in the journey. I pray for this church. I pray for the destiny that was born into this church, when it was conceived in your heart, Lord God, that this new season would be a greater convergence with your calling and destiny upon this church. I pray, Lord God, for great fruitfulness, for great fertility here, Lord God. Germinate us with the multiplication of the kingdom in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.